The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition of the podcast, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:35 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Mick Norton and Darren Owen in the studio. Three meetings to look forward to on Monday. We have Jumps Racing from Southwell and two all-weather meetings as well, Kempton and Wolverhampton, completing the lineup. So plenty to look at. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Glad to hear it. Before we get stuck into Monday's racing, we're just going to have a quick reflection on Saturday's action as well, because we had some good Jumps Racing to look back at from Sandown, Fosslass and Weatherby. So, it was a good day. We actually beat the weather, Mick, and managed to get three meetings on.
Absolutely, Sandown did well, didn't they? Transferring the abandoned hurdle races, transforming them into steeplechases, and they got a good card as a result. And I'm sure that Venetia Williams and Aidan Comer for one, and their owners will be highly delighted that they did.
She had a good day, didn't she, Venetia Williams? Was it a treble on the day?
A treble on the day, yes. Yeah.
The big race at Sandown, though, was the Scilly Isles, Mick. It was a grade one over 2.5 miles, and Oscar Whiskey was the 1-6 favourite going into it, only three runners in the race. And if you'd have backed him at such a short price, a couple of fences out, you might have been a little bit worried, but he did the job well enough in the end and in what was a slog in the mud.
Yeah, I mean, he's far from being a natural over fences, though. He just seems to be in two minds as to how to get from one side to the other. But I think he'll get better as he gets more experience, and he does steer well, doesn't he, which is always a big plus to have at the festival, although he will have to jump a bit slicker, I think. They've been giving him plenty of practice around Cheltenham. Three of his chase starts have been there, so that'll stand him in good stead. He just needs to quicken it all up a bit, think a bit quicker.
Yeah, interesting comments as well about Oscar Whiskey. He's a horse with the ever-expanding belly, apparently. And, whilst Nicky Henson's been avoiding the really deep ground with most of his star performance, it seems that Oscar Whiskey needs the runs.
Well, yeah, I don't think he needed that much, Mark. Otherwise, he wouldn't have stayed on up the hill in that ground like he did. I think he's just one of them horses who a lot of horses are like that. They just make hard work of it because it's their makeup, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Alongside Sandown, we had a good card at Fosslass, where the Welsh champion hurdle was the feature race on their card. And Sapphire Daru completing the hat-trick, grinding it out against Whisper, who made a mistake at the last. It might have been a little bit closer had that not happened. But Sapphire Daru is definitely a horse on the up, isn't he, at the moment?
He's just a typical French-bred improver, isn't he? And it well placed by Paul Nicholls. Although it was a limited handicap class too, Harry Derren was able to claim in it. And I think that... That helped, didn't it? Because he only won by a head. Harry, very good value for his £5 claim. And both the first and second need plenty of credit for those performances in that, and again, very testing ground.
Yeah. We also had the West Wales National as well, and that was another good result for Venetia Williams. Emperor's Choice coming home in front.
Talk about Oscar Whiskey needing having a blow after the race. I bet Liam Treadwell was as well, wasn't he? Because he was even pushing him out going down at the start. No mind in the race itself, never gave up on him. And a lot of credit to Liam, who's having his best ever season, mainly thanks to his link-up with Venetia Williams, and he's making the most of his opportunities. What a real slog that was. Look at half the field pulled up, didn't they?
Yeah.
And full credit to Emperor's Choice, who was never travelling at any stage. But he does love these heavy ground stamina tests, doesn't he?
He does, yes, and that proved to be the case on Saturday. We also had good racing at Weatherby as well, and their feature race was the Grade 2 Towson Novices Chase, and Eli Brown coming home in front, although he didn't really have much to beat in the end.
Yeah, bad day for cover holder. He lost his life in the race, didn't he? And he He broke down very badly and had to be put down after the race, which is a great blow. He's been a great team player at Sue Smith Yard, hasn't he? He'll be sadly missed. But Eli Brown, yeah, kept on strongly to put distance between himself and Milborough. I think with cover holder out of the race, though, his task was made a lot simpler. Noel doubled up, didn't he, earlier on on Who Owns Me with Charlie Mann. And Noel having his best ever season. Let's hope he stays in one piece up to the festival where he's got some fancy rides. And no planning made short work of his rivals in the 2.10. I know his task was made a bit easy when McMurrow unseated three out, but I think no planning wasn't stopping, and we know he stays further. And just continued to Smith's run of form, although it's not slightly tempered, as we said, by two of their, you know, high profile horses. Aurora's Encore retired this week and then losing poor old cover holder. So just sums up the National Hunt game, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the unfortunate side to the game, isn't it?
And we also saw a nice performance, didn't we, from Aurora Destroal, a new recruit to the John Quinn Yard. She looks a real prospect, doesn't she? And she came from Gia McCares, where you know she'd been well schooled, but I know she had nothing to beat in the end, with probably her main rival unseating early on. But you couldn't help but be impressed visually by the performance, could you?
No, it looked a good performance. Anything else catch your eye, Mick, on Saturday?
I didn't see much elsewhere, but just having a look through through the results, I didn't really think we'd miss too much yet. Also, I didn't see any flat racing at all. Over in Ireland, there was as usual, plenty of runners on the card in Ferryhouse, and the Stuart Crawford team continue to churn out the winners, don't they? Goodness me, they're going great guns. But it was a pretty standard day at Ferryhouse with, I don't think, any stars on offer. But there was a little bit of an interesting race. Because the maiden hurdle at 125 did have Hallin's Treasure in there representing the four-year-old form, and they didn't really get much of a boost there, getting beaten by the older Shantou Ed. So maybe a bit of a reverse for, say, supporters of Ivan Grozny. So that might be significant. And Sun Tiep did the job as expected in the beginner's chase. Looked still a work in process, but he looks a very safe conveyance. An interesting quote from his trainer, Willie Mullins. He says, "I'll get my licence out again to ride him at Cheltenham. He jumps that well." And he's going for the 4 miler, apparently. So he might take some beating in that. And very interesting addition to that field. And again, the Crawfords were on the mark in the bumper, a double on the day on that Irish card. So they really are having a rare time of it at the moment, aren't they? The County Antrim trainer.
Yep. And we also see Lion and Burner back to winning ways as well. The Irish Grand National winner from a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
He returned to the winner's enclosure as well.
Absolutely.
So that's nice to see.
Yep.
Good. Right, that's the action from Saturday. Then we must move on to Monday's racing, though, and you've picked out three races at Kempton, Mick.
Yes, once again, we sort of thought we'd concentrate on the flat racing. I think the jumps card are making the right sort of noises about being on, but you never quite know with Southwell. If the River Trent behaves itself, I suppose, they should be okay, as long as that seven-bore title surge doesn't get all the way up to Nottinghamshire.
Well, hopefully it won't, but we're going to focus on Kempton. And Mick's picked out three races, the first of which is the 4 o'clock, which is a London Mile Series qualifier, so obviously it's over a mile. We've got 12 of them in the lineup here, Mick, and it's quite a competitive race.
It is, actually, yeah. I was looking through it, and it was, you know, sort of had to discard a few reluctantly to make a short list of three. I'll start with go through them in race card order. Legendary is the first one who makes the short list. He's been in great form of late, trained by Ed Vaughan, Jimmy Quinn taking the ride. The slight concern is he is £10 higher than his last win, but on the plus side, he's gone very close in this grade, class 4, off 83, £2 lower mark the last twice. So suggestions are that maybe mid-80s might not be on him, but this is quite competitive. The vote's going to go to number three, Cayuga. Brett Johnson trains. Tom Queerley taking the ride. He's compiling a pretty decent all-weather profile, this horse, and he made it two wins from four goes on the Polytrek at Lingfield last time. He's also one from one over course and distance. He's gone up three for that Lingfield win, and that does mean a career best is required, but he's definitely open after only four starts, open to further Polytrek improvement, and no problem him coming back to the mile here at Kempton, where he is a course and distance winner. It was 10 furlongs at Lingfield last time, but he's got bags of speed for this, and I'd take him to keep his good all-weather profile going. The other one to consider is Dixie's Dream, another course and distance winner, still £4 higher than his last win. Did appear to struggle the next twice after going up £4 for that win here in November over course and distance. He's got a pound back off the handicapper. So he is going the right way, if you like, to get in near to a winning mark. But it does look as though he's got nothing in hand. He'll need everything to go right for him. And I'm giving Cayuga a pretty confident vote.
Okay, Cayuga then in the 4 o'clock. On to the 4:30 next, which is a class 5 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. And where do you want to start in this one then, Mick?
Well, again, we'll go through them in race order, Mark. Number one is Rowan Ridge, who he's a horse who wins in his turn. William Knight trains, Jim Crowley rides. He's got plenty of decent course form to his name. He's yet to win in class 5, and he has been beaten in Sellers. But listen to this, Mark. Jim Crowley takes over from claimers and amateurs and stuff. He's been ridden the last few times. Jim's had three rides on him, and he's finished first, second and second on three rides. So I think that's highly significant. Mm-hmm. And I think he looks booked for the frame, at least. I'm going to take a chance, though, and give the vote to Fearless Lad. John Best trains, Hayley Turner takes the ride. He's been came back to form two outings ago with a win in a maiden at Lingfield. That was over 10 furlongs. And improved on that when beaten only just over a length into sixth in a very competitive handicap here at Kempton next time. I think that mile is absolute minimum trip for him. So going back up in trip, even going up a further furlong further than he won over, I think this should definitely suit him. With the mark, OK, step up in trip, sure to suit. He looks sure to go well. And he looks also sure to go well at a price mark, which is equally as important. The other one to keep an eye on is the bottom one, Knight's Watch. Another one trained by William Jarvis. We had a look at Williams in the other race we looked at. Rob Havlin taking the ride. Scope for her improvement, definitely, from this mark of 58. And with the penny definitely dropping the last twice, left its previous pretty ordinary efforts behind, progress is highly likely. So keep an eye on Knight's Watch. He might outrun his price, and he did look a bit unlucky last time. But I'm going to take a chance on Fearless Lad.
OK, Fearless Lad then in the 4:30. And the 5 o'clock is the final race on the card. It's the final race we're going to look at. It's a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a half. And Sudden Wish arrives here on the back of some decent efforts over hurdles. Mick, she's back on the all-weather this afternoon. What do you make of her chances?
Yeah, daughter of Jeremy, isn't she? The Sarah, of course, of Arconna. And she won her classified here over 10 furlongs. Placed at this trip a mile and a half on turf. And as you say, Mark, a creditable effort in her last three hurdle runs. And, yeah, she makes my shortlist of three, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see her win it. Midnight Sequel is a three-times course and distance winner and landed a right old touch over this course and debut on its first start for Nalmal Holland last month. Went back a week later under a penalty and did disappoint. But that first run for Niall Mulholland was after 100 days off, Mark, and it was just too quick, I think. It probably bounced under the penalty. It's had a further 12 days, which might be enough. But certainly on the form of its course and distance win is interesting. I'm just worrying if they're going back again a little bit too quick. And I'm going to take a chance on Penny Stock here. A lightly raced daughter of Dan Silly, trained by Mark Johnson. Joe Fanning taking the ride. She's only got a mark of 52. Just forget that run at Southwell last time. She didn't handle the fibre sand at all. Judge her on her handicap debut third at Wolverhampton, where she, I thought she ran a fine race. She's off the same mark here, and she's still very much unexposed. And the stable are in flying form at the moment. Their sort of four-year-olds are all running really well. So we'll take a chance on the Mark Johnson filly Penny Stock in the 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you're absolutely flying at the moment, aren't they? Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your three one more time.
Yeah, I might just make three nice doubles and a treble. These three, Cayuga in the 4 o'clock, Fearless Lad in the 4:30, and Penny Stock in the 5 o'clock.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. You're in the studio on Monday as well.
I am, actually, Mark. Yes, I'll be able to keep a close eye on them.
Okay, good stuff. Enjoy it, Mick.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing then. He'll be joined in the studio by Gareth Topham and Darren Owen, and they'll be live on Racing Radio from 12:35pm. We have Southwell over Jumps, this meeting at Kempton, and another all-weather meeting at Wolverhampton as well. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.